situations are very difficult to get out of. Let me give you an example. Maybe you're driving in the car with a three-year-old, and they've learned a word. It's a great word. It's a three-letter word. W-H-Y. Why did that car pull in front of us? Well, because the driver was, trying to make a turn. Why are they turning? Because they're going maybe home. Why are they going home? Because they got done at work. Well, why did they leave work? Well, because their day was done. Well, why is their day done? And you just like, I don't know where this is going to end. I don't know how to get out of this. Why did the tree fall down? Because it rained. Why did it rain? Because, and on, and you're just like, there is no way out. Now, there is a way out with a three-year-old asking the question, why? You interrupt and you say, would you like ice cream? They never ask why. They say yes. And that's another three-letter word. And you have a brief reprieve. But some situations in life are very difficult to get out of, seemingly impossible. And the reality is, in life, we're all going to face those moments. As a matter of fact, we've got a lot of terms that kind of capsulize and incorporate that idea, right? I'm behind the eight ball, between a rock and a hard place. My back's against the wall. I'm in a corner. I'm in a jam. I'm in a pickle. I'm facing a dilemma. I'm in a predicament. We have all those things that kind of communicate that idea that we're in a bind. We're in a hard place. Sometimes we find ourselves in these situations because of our own choices, because of things that other people have done. Sometimes it seems like it's just the consequences of life or just circumstances conspiring against us. Those difficult times can be related to work, our business, marriage, could be legal problems, could be issues at school, could be things you're dealing with your children or a neighbor or a friend or an ex. Whatever the circumstance and whatever the cause for it, when we find ourselves in those situations where we say, I don't see a way out. I don't know how this can resolve itself. I feel trapped. We tend to look to something or to someone to get us out. What do you look to? A lot of us look to ourselves. I'll figure this out. I got myself into this mess. I'll get myself out of it. See, here's what we don't realize. We weren't smart enough to get ourselves in the mess. We were dumb enough to get ourselves in the mess. So you're probably not smart enough to get yourself out of it, but we think I'll figure it out. Or we have enough sense to go, I can't figure this out, but I'm going to always turn to that friend, that parent, that mentor, that coach, someone who seems to know a little bit more, always kind of has the right answer. I'm going to turn to them. In our modern day and age, sometimes we turn to counselors or therapists or Google or Siri. We turn to a lot of places to get those answers when we seem trapped. How am I going to get out of this situation? What's the answer? I don't see a way forward. I don't see a way back. I don't see a way through. There's got to be a way. But what we're going to find this morning is that the Bible tells us to turn to God. The same God who throughout the scriptures, throughout the pages of the Bible, over and over and over again delivers, rescues, comes to the aid of his people, is the same God that is active in our lives, the same God we can pray to, the same God we can call out to, the same God who wants to deliver us. But what we've learned throughout this series is this: he is the same God, but that does not mean he always works in the same ways. He'll always deliver us, but he may not deliver us the way he delivered them. But he will deliver, he will rescue, he will come into the situation if we ask him to. So what I want to do this morning is look at the story that we've kind of been looking at the last couple weeks of the exodus of the people of Israel. So in just a few moments, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now, Exodus 13 and 14. If not, don't worry, the verses will be up on the screen. But before we get there, let me give a little backstory in case you haven't been here or you're not familiar with the story. So the people of Israel, God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God made a covenant with them, with Abraham, and then Abraham's son, Isaac, and then his son after him, Jacob. And he said, I want to bless you, multiply you, increase you, and give you this land. And so it was called the Promised Land. But before the people went to the promised land, they had ended up in Egypt. They sojourned in Egypt. After the death of Jacob, and their numbers just begin to increase more and more and more until they were there for almost 400 years, 430 years. But the majority of that time, because they increased so much, the Egyptians got afraid. They said, there's going to be so many Israelites here, they're going to overtake us. They're going to end up ruling us. And so over time, they began to subject them and got them into bondage and servitude and slavery. And so for the majority of that 400 years, they were in bondage to the Egyptians. And they cried out to God. They said, God, you made this promise. We want to go to our land. And so God moves and he brings Moses to lead them as the great deliverer. And through Moses, God does these 10 plagues and he demonstrates his power to Pharaoh, who's the king of Egypt. And after a period of time, finally, Pharaoh says, just get your people out of here. Go, leave. You've nearly decimated us and destroyed us. And we can't handle this anymore. Get out. Take your people and go. 600,000 men plus women and children, so several million. Pack up their belongings. They leave with the plunder of Egypt. The Egyptians are paying them to leave. Just take our money and go. Get out of here. And just leave. So they get everything together, and they head off. And that's where we're going to pick up a story in Exodus 13. It says, when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road. Now, we talked about God leading us in the very beginning of this series. So I encourage you to go back, listen to that message. We're not going to talk about this. But here's something interesting in the way God leads us. It says, God did not lead them along the main road, though it was the shortest route to the promised land. Instead, God led them in a roundabout way. Who's ever felt like God's leading them in a roundabout way? Like, God, there's a straight line. There's a straight path. Like, why don't we take that? You think you're unique, okay? Oh, God's taking me in a roundabout way. No, he's been doing it for thousands of years. And the reason is he doesn't want to just get you somewhere. He wants to do something in you while he brings you there. He wants to grow you, change you, transform you. He wants to build character in you. He wants to develop faith in your heart. He wants to do all kinds of things that take time. Because God isn't so much concerned about where you're getting to. We want to get there, like tomorrow or yesterday. God's like, I'll get you there. Don't worry. Getting there is the easy part. Getting this changed is the hard part. So God leads them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. We don't know if it was actually the Red Sea or a different part of a lake in that area. It doesn't matter. God led them there. That's the important part. The Israelites camped there as they were told. They camped exactly where God led them and instructed them. Then Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done? We let all these Israelite slaves leave. So they pursued them, Pharaoh and his army and his chariots. And the Egyptians caught up with them, the Israelites, as they camped by the sea. So God leads them to a very specific place. And here they camp on the shores of the sea. And as they're camped there, exactly where God tells them to go, they look up and in the distance, on the horizon, they see dust rising from the ground. And they hear the sound of hooves beginning to echo. And they say, what in the world is happening? And then they realize Pharaoh has sent his armies for us. You talk about being in a bind. They're going, we're trapped. We've got a sea behind us. We've got nowhere to go. We've got an army coming at us. We can't go back. We can't go forward. We can't go anywhere. We don't have boats to go across the sea. We've got nothing. We don't have weapons to fight. We've got nothing to do. They are in it deep. They are up against it. Now, there are times in your life when you're going to find yourself in a situation where there seems to be no way out. And it's not always just because of bad circumstances. Sometimes it's because of God's intention. God sometimes is saying, I am setting you up for something. God led the people there. He knew what was going to happen. He was setting them up. And it tells us why in Exodus 14, it says, I, God, have planned this in order to display my glory. God's saying, I want to show you my power. I want to demonstrate my power to you and through you so that others will see it. Because you wouldn't believe it any other way. And there are times in your life when God is going to bring you to a place where you are desperate for an escape. And he's doing it because he wants to show something to you. And I know what some of you are thinking. God, thank you, but no thanks. Send somebody else into the impossible situation. I'll be glad to see your power demonstrated through them to me. Why do I have to be the one? Because God knows, and really deep down inside, we know too, when we're honest with ourselves, that there is something about us that until we're up against it, we will look to anything and anyone else to deliver us except God. It's only when there's no way out that you turn to God. When there's no way out is when you turn to God. Until then, you look to yourself, your own solutions, your own ingenuity, your own abilities. You look to other things. You look to professionals. You look to counselors. You look to people who have wisdom and education and background and experience. Listen, I could say for myself, until I get to the point, so often when I go, there is no other option, do I turn and learn from God. Until then, I think I can do a nifty job. But when I look back, I go, I didn't do a really good job. I just screwed a bunch of things up. So God says, I want to get you to this point of desperation so that you'll realize that my power and my glory and my strength are what you need. So God set the people up, and sometimes he sets you up. And then it says that God moves in this supernatural way. Here's what it says. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. So they cried out to the Lord. Now, isn't that what we do, right? I'm in this situation. I don't know what to do. They panicked. Oh my gosh, why is this happening? This isn't, I mean, we were slaves for all these years. Why couldn't we just stay in Egypt? Now we're out here, we're gonna die. This doesn't make sense. This isn't fair. I don't understand it. Life isn't the way it's supposed to be. This is too hard. Why did this have to happen? They begin to panic and murmur and grouse. This is too difficult. And then it says they cried out to the Lord. And Moses told the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. So what Moses is saying is, listen, the same God who saw you in bondage and captivity, led you out through miraculous signs and wonders, he has freed you from all these things. Don't you think he can get you out of this situation? Have faith. Trust God. Don't be afraid. Stand and believe that he will deliver you. So there's four truths here that I want to touch on briefly, and here they are. The first is, don't be afraid. Trust God. Don't be afraid. Listen, the same God who delivered you out of Egypt can deliver you out of this bind, out of this difficulty. He's the same. Trust him. Trust him. Stop being afraid. Have faith. Have courage. Believe. When you're in those hard situations, trust God. The next is this, stand firm. Stand still. Listen, our natural tendency is when things don't go our way, we're in a hard place, we're in a jam, we're in a bind, what do we say? I'm out of here. This is too hard. I don't like it. Taking my ball and going home. God led me here. He can't be trusted. He's no good. That's what the Israelites are like. We should just go back. It'd be better. What good is God? God has led you to this place. He has shown himself. You 400 years, you were slaves. He's brought you out of slavery. They were forcing you to kill your own children, and he's freed you from that, don't you think? But we want to go back to what it was because at the moment it's too hard. Because we forget where we were. We just say, this is so difficult. Don't try and run away. Stand firm. Stand still. Don't run away from God. Press into God. Then look to the Lord. Watch him move. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own ingenuity. Don't look to others. God has got the answer if you look to him, and he will move, and you don't want to miss what he's going to do. I think sometimes we're in these situations. I've had this. I have talked to people, and they have told me about a situation they went through and what happened, and I hear the story and say, can't you see God in that? And they say, no, because they're not looking to God. They're looking to the situation. I look at it and go, God set all these things up. Can't you see what God did? No. I never saw that before because you're not looking to the Lord. And then the last thing is this, stay calm or stop complaining. In the Hebrew, that statement, stay calm, it actually means stay quiet. Stop talking. Shut your mouth. In other words, God's saying, stop complaining about everything. Don't you think I know? I'm not surprised, but I told you to come here. Yeah, but did you know there was an ocean? Well, that's the part I forgot. Well, didn't you know that Pharaoh? Pharaoh's nothing to me. We get into these moments and we complain. And listen, complaining people primarily, not exclusively, but primarily are looking for sympathy. We frantically go on and on and on and complain about how bad life is, how unfair it is, how hard I have it, how crappy life is, how nobody understands. And on and on and on we go until we get so worked up, all we see is the negative. And it's impossible to remember the good so that it feels like there's no way out. And so what do? We find people to sympathize with us. Man, my life's really hard. It stinks. It's terrible. My boss is a jerk. Yeah, so's mine. Your boss isn't a jerk. He just gave you a raise. Yeah, but if I tell them that, then I'm not. No, you say, I'm sorry. But my life's good. God's blessed me. I got to go through some hard things sometimes. But man, this is terrible. I never get any good food. Well, I'm sorry. I just had a great dinner. Sorry, your life's terrible. And you say, well, that's not being kind. Yes, it is. It's telling that person, stop looking at what seems impossible, what seems that's insurmountable, what seems so bad, and begin to have a perspective that says, God has brought me from here to here. And in doing that, he was good. And so if he was good getting me from there to here, he's going to be good in getting me out of here. But all we want to do is complain. And God says, stop your complaining. God says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear all your belly aching. So then this is what happens. It says, the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. And the pillar of cloud also moved and stood behind them, positioning itself between the Egyptians and the Israelites. So there's this angel that's leading the people. And as we heard in the first week of this series, there's a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night that's leading them. And this is the only time in Scripture where we hear that it moves from leading them, being in front, to behind. So what does this mean? It means God is saying, I've got your back. I am going to protect you. You're completely protected. The Egyptians are coming, but they can't get to you. You are hemmed in, and you're safe. And then the fire, it says, the pillar of cloud turns to fire. This is what it says. It says, as darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water. So if you've ever been at night and you've looked at a bright light, right? You could see that bright light. You can't see what's behind it. It blinds you. So this light is so bright, the Egyptians can't see what God is doing. God is saying, I've got you. They have no idea what I'm about to do. I want you to see it because I want your faith to grow. They are going to see my power, and they're going to be terrified. So Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened a path through the water, and the people walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. And the Egyptians chased after them. But when all the Israelites reached the other side, the waters rushed back and swept over the Egyptians, and not a single one survived. When the people saw the mighty power that God had unleashed, they put their faith in him. God steps in and he says, I know you're desperate. I know it seems impossible, but I can make a way where there is no way. I can make a path in the middle of the sea. I can bring water in the middle of the desert. I can lead you through whatever it is you're facing. The people had to get to the point where they said, we're going to trust God. We're going to stand. We're not going to run back. We're not going to turn back. We're not going to give up. We're going to stand firm and watch the deliverance of our God and we're going to stop our belly aching. And when they did that, God did something incredible. See, God often leads you to a point in your life where you say, I don't see a way out. And he says, that's fine. You don't see a way out. But here's what I know. If God led you to it, he will lead you through it. God led them exactly to that place. He didn't really get them out of the situation, did he? He led them through the situation. Getting them out of the situation would have been, oh, look, the army's just dissipated. It's turned into dust. Blow them away, right? God melt them like wax. God doesn't do any of that stuff. He says, I'm going to lead you through, and I'm going to do it in an amazing way. But as a result, these Egyptians that have been chasing you, you'll never, ever, 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 ever see them again. And as a matter of fact, history says that place in Egypt for 17 years, the Egyptians refused to ever go back there. They never visited that place because it was a whole generation that said, we don't want anything to do with that. We saw God's power. And it says the people believed. God says, I want you to understand who I am. If I just get you out, if I just help you to avoid any hardships in life, you're not going to have faith in me. You're just going to think life is easy. I want you to understand that when life is hard, I'm still good. So trust in God. Stand firm. Watch him move. Stop complaining. But then there's another part. It said that they cried out to God. They called out and said, God, we need you. See, when we think about God delivering us, what we often think of is God getting us out of the difficulty, getting us out of the hardship, getting us out of the crisis. But maybe we also need to realize part of being in those moments is inviting God in. Not just saying, God, get me out, but God, come in. Come into this situation. Come into this hardship. Come into this difficulty. Come into this moment that seems insurmountable. See, God may be waiting to get you out. God may be waiting for you to invite him in before he brings you out. They cried out to God. Some of you need to change your prayers. Instead of, God, get me out, God, come in. God, I invite you into this situation. God, I invite you into this hospital room while I'm still receiving treatment. God, I invite you into this meeting room where I'm being falsely accused. God, I invite you into this counseling room where my spouse doesn't seem to understand my emotional hurt. God, I invite you in to this situation because, God, I need you to do something. When we invite God in, all of a sudden what we're saying is, God, I don't know how I can get out of this. And if I can't get out of it, I want you to lead me through it. That's why in the book of Isaiah, now Isaiah was a prophet, and when prophets write, there's a lot of different meaning to it. Sometimes it's hearkening back to something God had did. It's also speaking to the people who are there, hearing it real time about what God is going to do. But then it often has a forthtelling, a prophetic implication on what is going to happen. And that's what Isaiah is writing. It's for the people. It reminds them of what God had done, and it speaks to us about what God is going to do in our lives. And here's what it says in Isaiah. It says, when you go, this is God speaking, when you go through the sea, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. And when you walk through the fire, the flames will not harm you. It didn't say, I won't make you go through the fire. I won't make you go through the water. I won't make you go through the rivers. It doesn't say I'm going to help you avoid all that stuff. It says I'll go through it with you if you'll invite me in. If you'll say, God, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the difficulty, I'm inviting you in. God, come into this moment and walk me through it. And when you invite God in, he begins to do things. He gives you grace without measure. He gives you peace that passes understanding. He gives you wisdom beyond your own understanding. He gives you faith to persevere. He gives you strength to stand. God does a great work, and what he's doing when he comes into the moment, he says, I want to do something in you. See, God bringing you out is miraculous. God coming in is transformational. It's when God changes you. In other words, you're not just praying, God, change the situation. You're praying, God, change me. God, come into this moment. I don't know a way out, but I know that you'll lead me through. And if you're going to lead me through on a wayward path, on a roundabout way, not a straight line, it's because in leading me through, you want to change me. God, don't just get me out, grow me up, mature me. Do a great work in my life so when I come out of this, I'm a different person. See, it's easy to say, God, get me out. It's harder to wait and allow God to lead you through. The reason we pray, God, get us out is because we want instant results. The problem is when we pray, God, get us out, and he doesn't give us instant results, we get discouraged, right? When I say, God, get me out, I mean, God, get me out yesterday. Today's okay, and tomorrow's about the latest I can hold on. We're not saying, God, get me out in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. But when we pray, God, get me through. See, when you say, God, get me out, we end up discouraged. When we say, God, come into this and get me through this. If it takes days, weeks, months, or years, or a lifetime, you say, God, that's okay. You're in this moment. Come into this and help me get through this. Help me get through this divorce. Help me get through this bankruptcy. Help me get through this sickness. God, help me. And when you invite him in, he gives you praise in the midst of hardship. He gives you peace when you should be discouraged. He gives you a calmness instead of being all worked up. So we need to invite God in, because here's the thing. God often gets you out. Oh, I didn't read this verse yet. I love this verse. It's the psalmist, David's writing this in the 23rd Psalm, and he says this, when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Right? So David is saying, listen, life is hard. It takes twists and turns. Sometimes there's darkness. Sometimes it feels like death is hovering over you like a specter, and it feels like nothing is going well, but you don't need to be afraid. Because God is with you. David said, my life has been hard. I've had some difficulties, but I've learned to invite God in to those situations. I don't need to be afraid. See, what's the greater testimony? That God kept you from difficulties? That God got you out of difficulties? Or that God walked with you through the difficulties? And that's what David's saying. Listen, you're going to go through hard times, but invite God in. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be fearful. God will walk through you with them. God often gets you out of your troubles by going through them with you. God gets you through it by going through it with you. God gets you through that hardship. God gets you through that seemingly impossible moment by going through it with you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God knows what you need. He knows the heart, the hurt, and the difficulty and the sadness. He'll get you through it. Now, some of you are saying, you don't understand, Pastor. My kids have wandered away. The sickness has spread. The disease is incurable. The finances are a mess. They walked away. My wife left me. They abandoned me. They broke my heart. Okay, I understand that. God, more importantly, understands that. And what he promised is he'll walk through it with you. He will give you a song of praise on your lips if you'll invite him in to that pain, to that hurt, to that situation. So in the Bible, there's a story, and we're not going to get into all the details, but there's a king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he builds this idol. And he says, anytime the trumpet blows, everyone needs to bow down and worship this idol. And there's three teenage Hebrew boys, and they say, we can't do that. It dishonors our God. And he says, you'll do it or you'll die. As a matter of fact, everyone will. If anybody refuses, I'm going to throw them into a fiery furnace, and they'll be destroyed. And they say, we won't do it. And he says, yes, you will. And he blows the trumpet, and they don't do it. And he says, well, I'll see you on the other side of whatever. And so he ties them up and throws them into this furnace. And then he looks and he peers and he sees that they're not burned up and they're not destroyed. As a matter of fact, this is what it says in the book of Daniel. The king shouts out, didn't we throw three men into the fire? Look, I see four men, and the fire hasn't harmed them. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Here's the thing. God is saying, listen, there are times when you're going to be thrown in the fire. There's times where there is no way out humanly, when God doesn't even make a way out. God could have made a way out for them. He could have kept them out of the fire. Instead, he shows up with them in the fire. God could have led the people of Israel a lot of different ways. He leads them to the sea so he could lead them through the sea. And there are going to be times in your life where you say, God, you could have helped me avoid all this trouble, all this misery, all this heartbreak, all this difficulty, all this crisis. And he says, I could have, but I'm going to walk with you through it. And that's the great hope that we have, that if God doesn't make a way out, he will always make his way in. God will always make his way into that situation if you'll invite him in. Say, God, come in. God, come in. The fires are threatened to destroy me. The waters are threatening to drown me. The Egyptians are threatening to massacre me. I don't know what's going to happen. There's lawsuits stacked up against me. I don't know what's going to happen. And God says, invite me into the situation. Invite me in. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Look to me. Don't complain, and invite me in and see what I can do. When your situation seems impossible, when it seems insurmountable, remember, there's a fourth man in the fire. You just have to invite him. Come into this moment, God, and help me. Come in, and he will rescue you. He'll provide, he'll protect, and he'll see you through. There's a business owner. She was very successful, but she was going through a very difficult time. Everything seemed to be transpiring against her and just conspiring to destroy her business that she had built up over years to the degree that she came on a Sunday and was talking to her pastor, and she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I mean, every vendor that I have is trying to change the terms. They're demanding payment that's not fair. They're trying to renegotiate rates. I've got almost every customer who is refusing to pay, or they're late in their payments, and I have got a contingency of employees who are disgruntled and making false accusations. I haven't done anything wrong, and I this is just destroying me. It's straining my marriage. It's affecting me physically. I don't know if I can keep going on. And she just kept praying, God, change the situation. God, fix this. She said, Pastor, how long do I have to wait? I keep asking God to do something, and nothing's happened. I'm asking him to get me out of this. And he said to her what I'm saying to you. He said, stop asking God to get you out and invite him in. Invite him into the situation. She said, I don't even know if that makes sense, but I'll try. And so she did. She began to pray, God, I invite you into this situation. Help me to do what's right, even when things that are happening to me are wrong. Help me to be a person of integrity, even when others are acting without integrity. Help me to operate in a way that honors you when other people are acting in dishonorable ways. God, help me come into this situation. A couple months later, pastor was talking, saw her in the lobby and said, hey, how's it going? And he just looked at her. She just looked different. She looked like she had peace, was at rest. He said, has everything resolved itself? She said, oh, no, not at all. Things are as bad as ever. I may lose my business. God hasn't changed anything except me. He's changed me. And I have peace. I go home and I sleep. I don't argue with my spouse. My kids are a joy. God hasn't changed anything, but he's changing me. He said, well, that's praise God. I'll be praying. About 18 months later, they were talking, and he said, whatever happened with your business? He said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. It took 18 months. But after 18 months, every vendor renegotiated their contracts, gave me the greatest terms, the best rates, and the best deals in the industry. Nobody's even close. Every customer has paid in full. There's nobody in arrears. And those who owed not only paid the full amount, they paid the penalties and the fees and the interest. And my employees are more excited than they've ever been. We are growing like crazy. As a matter of fact, my business has quadrupled. It's now valued at $25 million. And someone recently reached out to me and said they want to buy me out. I can't wait. And she said, Pastor, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying this because you need to hear it. I'm saying because I need to make this statement. She said, I'm going to tithe on the sale of that business. And I'm going to give over and above that. I'm going to give $2.5 million just off the sale of the business. And then over and above that, because I want to help finance and fund the vision and the mission of this church, because it's helping me to grow and be changed and be transformed. I would have never thought to invite God in. I would have fought to fix things. And God did the fighting for me. That's why it says, right? Moses said, stand still and watch the Lord fight your battle. You may be in a situation and you say, I can't see any way out. It seems insurmountable. It seems impossible. I can't imagine what's going to happen. And God says, I am setting you up to position you for what's next so that you can be of more value to my kingdom. But we want to rush and get out of it. Just get me out. Instead of inviting God in so that he can change us as he gets us through. So there was a teenager, 17-year-old named Joseph. And when he was 17 years old, his brothers betrayed him. They thought about killing him, but instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery. And so now he's sold into slavery. It's a terrible situation. But he ends up finding favor. He's the ends up having a position of leadership as the head of all the servants in this man's house named Potiphar. But then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph of attempted rape. And so Joseph is now thrown in jail. So he's betrayed, he's sold into slavery, he's falsely accused, and now he's imprisoned. And here he sits. And he could have had every reason to complain, to just say, God, get me out. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I've done nothing. I've gotten all this. We not once in Joseph's entire story do we ever hear him complain. As a matter of fact, although it's not explicitly stated, we can imply that throughout this story, he keeps inviting God in. Because three different times it says something like this in the book of Genesis. It says the Lord was with Joseph and caused everything he did to succeed. Joseph just said, God, come in. God, come in. God, come into this situation. Come into this moment. Come into this pit. God, come into this house of Pharaoh. Come into this prison that I'm being held in. God, come into this situation. And he found success after success after success. Sold into slavery at 17, 13 years later at the age of 40, he is released from prison and elevated to the second in command in all of Egypt, only under the authority of Pharaoh himself. Now, here's the amazing thing. It was 13 years. That's why I say, don't just ask God to get you out, because you'll be disappointed about God's timing. Say, God, come in and help me get through. Help me get through this. Help me get through so that when I do get out, I am the person you want me to be. See, inviting God in allows you to come out better. With promotion, with favor, with character, with the fruit of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, with the faith that you need in order to get through everything. With the tenacity of spirit that says, I won't give up. Ask God into that moment. I know some of you are going through it and it seems impossible. 13 years is a long time, but invite God in. God, come into this situation. I can't see a way out, but God, will you see me through? Invite him in. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Watch the Lord move. Stop complaining and invite him in. And he will do for you what he did for them, because he's the same God who delivers. He's the same God who rescues. He's the same God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask by your Holy Spirit, would you begin to move in our hearts? Some of us right now are in a bind. We're in a situation. You need to know God knows. He sees the sleepless nights. He hears the worried thoughts. He knows the loneliness in your heart. He knows the desperation that you feel. He knows the hopelessness that threatens to overwhelm you. And he says, trust me. Don't run away from me. Look to me. Don't complain, but invite me in. I want to do something amazing in your life. If you're going through something right now, I'm just going to invite you right where you are. If you know you need to invite God into a situation that seems impossible, right where you are, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say, I need to invite God in. I need to invite God in. God, I right now, every hand that's raised, I declare in the name of Jesus that as we invite you in, into the fire, into the crisis, into the water, into the difficulty, God, that we will not be taken out, will not drown, will not be burned up, will not be destroyed. But God, we will see the fourth man in the fire, and he will show himself strong, and he will protect us, and he will lead us, and he will guide us through everything, so that when we come out on the other side, we will see something amazing. God, I declare that we'll see favor, we'll see promotion, we'll see opportunity, we'll see influence. God, we will see your deliverance, because you are the same God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. I invite you, let's stand to our feet. Let's worship God together. And if you'd like prayer, maybe you just want to spend some time at the altar on your knees or standing in God's presence, but this space will be open. Make your way forward. If you'd like prayer, someone will pray with you. Otherwise, just cry out to God. Invite him in and see what he wants to do.